And we invite the Holy Spirit of God to saturate us now with His truth, with His grace, with His love. May the love of Christ be poured upon each and every person right now. An extra dose, an extra measure, an abundance of the love of Christ coming upon each heart right now. And we receive this for the glory of God. Amen. A few years back, there was another episode of a deranged person attacking. And he happened to do so in a church setting. Entered a church and attempted to hurt people, shoot people. Shortly after that, there was more than one person that came up to me and said this. Something like this. "Pastor, I just want you to know that if something like that ever happens in our church, I just want you to know that I'm ready to step in and protect people." And they explained that they had a resource on them that could help in that protection. And I thank them. You know, we don't have an official policy on how to handle an interruption or someone that might attempt to come and harm people during one of our services or our children's hour. But this person was willing to be used to prevent evil and to protect people, protect good. And that's a commendable thing. Now, I'm aware that there are people within our culture that are more pacifists and would not want to be part of anything that would involve hurting somebody else. But I want to commend those that would want to protect innocent life and are willing to put themselves in the position of preventing evil. Because we live in a time when, unfortunately, there is still a lot of evil. It'd be nice if we could say, just everyone get along and everyone live at peace, and one day Christ will accomplish that. But that's still in the future. In the here and now, we live in this time frame when there's tension, there's turmoil. There's actually an enemy to the church and to Christians. It's a reality that we must be aware of, and therefore we need not just a person who's going to stand up and say, "Hey, I'm packing heat and I'll take care of things if something happens." We need people who are willing to say, "I've got spiritual armament. I've got spiritual weaponry. And I'm prepared to take on anything the devil wants to throw at us so that I can protect my family, my church, the children I'm in charge of, the greater body of Christ. The little lambs He's assigned to us to care for." How does that strike you? Are you able to say, "Well, thank God there's somebody that will protect us from a terrorist," but are you also willing to say, "Thank God that He has raised up people to protect us spiritually"? And then take it one more step. Are you prepared to protect yourself and the people assigned to your care spiritually? We're going to conclude this morning's time by looking at the handout I put, two of it in each bulletin, or had Robin put two in each bulletin. It's a submission combat procedure steps, and it's not intended that it has to be done word by word or exactly as it's written, but these are steps that you want to take. In fact, I want to give you a challenge for 30 days, for the next 30 days of February. Would you, for the next 24 days of February, take these steps every day? Would you start the rest of February by walking through these steps? My goal is that it becomes ingrained in you as a daily habit, that you are every day getting up to face that day, aware that you are entering into enemy territory, and therefore you must be prepared for whatever comes. Now, an important part of this step is not just recognizing that there's evil, but preparing yourself to enter in even more deeply into connection with your sovereign Savior. We want to start each morning celebrating the victory of Christ. that he has conquered the devil, that he is daily giving you the energy, the empowerment, the authority, the ability you need to be victorious against the schemes of the evil one. So that's where we're going to be ending our time together this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, there's a paragraph that talks about this battle that we're to rage or to wage. And it starts off that paragraph by saying, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." And it goes on to say, "Put on the full armor of God." But think about what that first line means. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He is calling you and me to be strong. What's that mean? It means not be wimpy, not be weak, not be anemic, not be unable, not be sitting there as a lump. It says be strong in the Lord. Not just in physical ways. Some of you are really strong physically. Could you also be really strong spiritually? What if we spent the rest of the month of February exercising spiritually? You know, if I opened up my suit coat and revealed this stomach to you, you'd see a bunch of abs under a layer of soft padding. What if you had a six-pack spiritually? What if you had bulging biceps and triceps and deltoids spiritually? What if you were ripped spiritually? Physical exercise is good for many things and reasons, but spiritually, what if you obeyed this command, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power? And it's going to go on to say, put on that full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. You'll be successful. You'll be victorious when the enemy is trying to trip you up. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus was ministering on a Sabbath day. He understood the real reason for the Sabbath. But this got him into trouble with some of the religious leaders of the time. It says, Luke chapter 13, verse 10, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. What's that mean? It means that an emissary of the devil, an evil spirit or a demon, was plaguing her. A woman had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free." The word there in the Greek is lua. It's a word that's usually translated loosened. It's various English translations, but same Greek word in many different verses. Untied, set free, released. Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Jesus declared it. Jesus spoke it. Jesus made a verbal statement, and it became reality. How did Jesus loosen this woman? By making a declaration, by saying something in agreement with God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus spoke it, and this woman became set free. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, you hypocrites, doesn't each one of you on the Sabbath loosen your ox? In the English, it's translated untie, but it's the same Greek word. Doesn't each one of you loosen your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound up for 18 years, the word there, bound up, bind, doua in Greek, who did it? Satan. Should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound up for 18 long years, be loosened on the Sabbath from what bound her? And when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated because the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. Would you be delighted if you saw the Lord Jesus Christ empowering his church to loosen what needed to be loosened or bind up what needed to be bound up? And is Christ calling you to be his hands and his feet, his mouthpieces, bringing his kingdom to reign in the situations that you encounter? Is he calling you to act out what he modeled for us in your own life, in your own family, in your sphere of influence at work and in the community? Another case occurred in Matthew chapter 12, starting at verse 22. Jesus was ministering, and they brought to him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. Matthew 12, 22. They brought a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him. He could both talk and see, and all the people were astonished, and the leaders, the Pharisees, they tried to accuse him of doing it by the power of Satan, which is ridiculous. And Jesus confronts them on their illogical thinking. But then in verse 28, he says, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first binds up the strong man? Then he can plunder his house. What are we seeing there? Jesus, again, using these terms, dua and lua, binding and loosing, to talk about spiritual warfare. And here he's saying that a person has to go in and bind up the strong man before he can plunder his house. He's doing that in the context of just having set free a man who had been demon-possessed. And he's declaring that he does this deliverance ministry, this releasing of this man, this cutting of the cords that bound this person through the Spirit of God. And he's teaching us that we are called to do the same. Four chapters later, Matthew 16, we read it with the kids. Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say that I am? Numerous answers. But what about you? Who do you say I am? Simon Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Matthew 16, verse 15. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, verse 18, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, or Hades, will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Who do you say that to? The context, he's speaking to Peter. So when you see something like that, when something is said directly to one person, you have to ask the question, okay, was that specific and only for that person? Or is that a principle that is being delivered then to be extended out to the church? To the church. Jesus is saying, I'm going to build my church on this confession that you've just declared that Jesus is the Christ. On that rock, on that strength of that confession and that declaration, Christ has built his church and is building his church. And those who agree with that confession and make that declaration themselves, so that their heart comes under the authority of Christ as they declare, Christ, you are my Messiah. They then are the rock, the church of Christ, given the keys of the kingdom and the authority to bind and to loose. You have the keys in your hand? Have you picked them up? Are you using them to unlock what's supposed to be unlocked or to lock up what's supposed to be locked up? Christ gives his authority to us. He repeats the same thing in two more chapters, Matthew 18. There's a passage where he's talking and explaining what to do when there's conflict in the church. Imagine that, a church with conflict. But he's got some instructions there for what to do when there's disagreements, when there's things that aren't in alignment with one another. And in the context of answering that question of what to do when someone sins against you and talking about the responsibility to go and talk to that person, and even if that person is unrepentant, how you're supposed to treat that person and cast that person out of the church if they refuse to repent, he goes on to say this in Matthew 18:18. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The context is the whole church. It's not just Peter this time. Now it's the whole church. And if you are the church, if you are part of the church, you are part of this gift from God, this authority from God. God is saying to you, be my emissaries, accomplishing my will, binding what needs to be bound, loosing what needs to be loosened. So will you do that? Will you bind up the things that are wrong? Now, it's true that you have spheres of influence. You might be watching something that's happening in Washington, D.C. and thinking, well, I need to take action. You need to first ask and say, God, do I have any authority over that situation? And if you're a citizen of the country, you do have a level of authority. You can exercise that. But you want to recognize that you are assigned spheres of influence, spheres of authority. You want to receive that blessing, that permission from God to exercise that authority. What if you're a parent who sees a child, your own child, getting into something, displaying some characteristics, becoming more guided by things of the world or things of the flesh or things of the devil? Do you have authority there as a parent? You bet you do. And so you can step in and exercise that authority. Since I have the keys of the kingdom and I have authority over my family, I bind up quarreling. I bind up anger. I bind up attraction to the things of the world. I tie that stuff up. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I loose the qualities of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control into my children. In other words, you read Scripture, you say, what are the things that are bad in Scripture that are not supposed to be in my kids? I'm going to bind those up. What do I see in Scripture, the things that are good, that are supposed to be in my kids? I'm going to loose those and untie those and pour them out into my kids' lives. Or what if you're a newly elected deacon to a church who has a responsibility of headship? You exercise the binding and loosing in the church. Or what if you're a small group leader or a, or a, or a teen leader or a Sunday school leader. You exercise that authority in your sphere of influence, and you bind up the things that are obviously of the world, the flesh, or the devil, and you loosen the things that are of Christ and of the Spirit. You exercise that authority that Christ has given you, and you do it in your own life first. So let's look at that handout I've given you. This is not unique to me. It's compiled from numerous sources, tweaked a little bit. And I'd like you to stand up with me, and we're going to look at this and read through this together as we take these steps. Some of these are prayers, and so we're praying them to God. And some of these are declarations that we're not praying. We're making a declaration. So we want to make sure we understand that difference. So I try to make that clear, whether it's a prayer or a declaration. But we'll read through these together as they're written, but recognizing that when you do it at home and on your own, you can use this as a guideline and launch off from these specific words to expand them in ways that are appropriate for you. So this is called Submission Resistance Combat Procedure. Let's read the verse. Submit, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Step number one, daily submit to God. Let's pray this prayer of submission together. Heavenly Father, I give you control of my intellect, emotions, will, and body. I invite you to be Lord of my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the second step is putting on God's provision of armor. So it's a prayer to God. Let's pray this together. Lord, I put on your provision of armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's the shoes, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, when you pray that on your own, you can expand that a little bit and recognize what each of those are in greater detail and act it out. I encourage you to pray these out loud and use your hand motions as you drive that teaching deep into your being as your body cooperates with it. Now, look at the third step. That's not a prayer. The third step is a binding statement. It's a declaration. Just like Jesus spoke declarations to break things of the demonic realm, we speak things to break them in the demonic realm. Satan cannot read your mind, so if you're going to do this, you got to do it out loud. So let's make this statement together of binding and loosing. Satan, I bind you. You will not have control of my intellect, emotions, will, or body. I loose myself from every stronghold and all bondage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice we did this as a third step. It comes after a submitting ourselves to God in the first step. It comes after appropriating his provision of armor in the second step. We always want to be in the proper position of alignment under the authority of Christ before you take a step like that. Now, sometimes when you're doing this, suddenly the Holy Spirit brings to mind something that might have yielded ground to the enemy. If you've sinned in some way, that's like you're opening a door to the enemy and saying, okay, here's an open hatch for you to get in and harass me. Not that he possesses you, but that he's intimidating you. He's attacking you. He's doing something from the outside to bring you harassment. So we want to recognize those doors that we might have opened. So the fourth step, if you have given ground to the enemy, you submit and you confess that sin. So this is a prayer of confession. And there's a blank in here. There's a blank in here. We're not going to say the list every sin specifically, but if something comes to your mind as we're doing it right now, go ahead and say that. You can pray underneath your breath. You can pray inside your mind or heart. Jesus can read those and hear those. But when you do this at home, you can expand that. I know people have spent whole days asking God to reveal anything in their life that might be contrary to his perfect will, that might be something that's opening up an area of attack against them. So let's pray this prayer out loud together. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess the sin I have committed in each area of my life. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. I also recognize that when I sinned, I gave demonic spirits the right to oppress me. I ask you to break their power and remove them from my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's really important when you ask God to forgive you that you receive that forgiveness. That line there is something that I didn't see in many of these types of things that I saw. And so I put that in there so that we would say yes to receiving the forgiveness. I thank you for forgiving me. Every time you confess a sin and ask Him to forgive you, thank Him for forgiving you. Now, fifth, once you've broken off that sin and confessed it, that demonic influence no longer has a right to oppress you. So let's evict it. Let's tie it up. Let's bind it up. Let's remove its influence. So this is a declaration. And the blank is for whatever you think is attacking you. Maybe you're really being attacked by a spirit of anger or a spirit of depression or a spirit of coveting or greed or pride or whatever it might be that's attacking you. There's a lot of spirits of lust rampant in our culture right now. Spirits of pornography, things that are trying to destroy the beautiful gift of sex in a covenant relationship. So if those are attacking you, you want to do what like Christ modeled. With your statements, you want to evict them and tie them up. So you fill in the blank silently underneath your breath, but when you do it on your own, you need to make it out loud. But let's model what we're supposed to do. Instead of saying spirit of blank, we're going to say any evil spirits. Let's do this together now. Any evil spirits, I take authority over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have submitted myself to God, and you cannot stay. I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave me now. You will not have my mind or my body. I loose myself from all your bondage. I rebuke you and command you to go to the pit of hell right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's pretty simple, short little statement, but that's all it takes. When you are in Christ, you have authority over the demonic realm. You are seated with Christ far above all principalities and powers, Ephesians chapter 2. So you don't have to go through a big elaborate process. I read somewhere recently where a child was permanently disfigured because someone was trying to do some ritualistic, almost like a voodoo type of ritual over them to get out an evil spirit. Well, in other words, they were trying to use an evil spirit to evict another evil spirit. It doesn't work. What works is being submitted to Christ, living in His authority, declaring His truth over those things of the defeated enemy. When you're done doing this type of thing, you want to be refilled. So the sixth step is a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit to occupy all areas of your life. So let's pray this together in great joy. Heavenly Father, I ask you to fill and control all of these cleansed areas of my life with your Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we stand before you, the sovereign, conquering Savior. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And by this declaration, Lord, you are building your church. We are your church. And you have given to us these keys, these symbols of authority, and this ability to accomplish your will. You've called us to be binding what needs to be bound, loosing what needs to be loosened, so that your kingdom expands here on earth as it is in heaven. We praise you, Lord, for this high calling, for the privilege of being your sons and your daughters. Help us to be alert to what is bad and deal with it appropriately. Help us to be alert to what is good, and to release it to be even blessed all the more. We praise in Christ's holy name. Amen.